You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome inside the Inside the War Room podcast presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Dante Colonelli, joined by my co-host once again, Saray Poole. Saray, how are you doing this lovely evening?
I'm good, man. I think we're going to have a good discussion today. Got some tight ends, man. It's always good to talk some football with my guy. Missed you last episode. Happy to be back.
Yeah, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, I do not recommend going back and listening to it again. My bosses are going to be upset for me saying that, but it was literally just me talking to myself for 30 minutes about wide receivers. So much better today. We're going to have some good banter. We were talking pre-show. We are anticipating having different lists. Now, we have anticipated this before, and they've been exactly the same because you and I actually see the game pretty similarly in a lot of ways. Yes. But we'll see. So you want to start from the bottom again? You want to start with five?
Yeah, I'm going to start with number five.
Like I said,
this may be a little weird, but I'm going with Jake Ferguson, tight end out from Wisconsin. If you know Wisconsin, it's a run-first team, man. But he's a mauler of a run blocker, dude. He has good hands and catch comfort. Go back and watch the Illinois game, right? He's strictly just a first-round prospect off that game. But in all seriousness, no, man, like he's fun, dude. I think that he's not the greatest athlete. He's not the fastest guy. But he showed the ability to create some separation at the top of the route tree. I think he has good catch comfort, good hands. He showed us several times the ability to go up and snag the ball out of the air. We have some big tight ends in his class, man. I was looking at the heights and went to some guys listed. I think Ferguson's listed at 6'5", 246, man. So I like to see him have more production, kind of a bigger role, but that's kind of skewed because you know how, like I said, how Wisconsin plays football. But, man, listen, I think he can be serviceable in the short areas of the field. This kid's going to fall to a team who loves to dink and dunk on 3rd and 5 and 3rd and 4, and that's how he's going to make a living. I'm not comparing him to Jason Witten, but just a good example of athletic tight ends who aren't athletic make a living in the NFL from being, you know, able to catch the ball on 2nd and 5 and 3rd and 5. There are some times, like I said, he was, you know, down the seam in the Illinois game. He went up and snagged the ball. He has the ability to go up and snag it. I really think that just this tight end class is different. Like last year, we had a for sure guy who was like number one. We had a for sure guy who was number two. And, you know, some people are all over the place with Brevin Jordan, but we for sure at least had three big name guys. I think this class is going to be interesting. I'll say that. But Wisconsin, I really like Jake Ferguson, man. I'd like to see him taking an expanded role next year, more targets, hopefully more production. But I think what the league is going in a way where tight ends can no longer be on the field if they aren't at least serviceable in the run game. And I think that's why Ferguson has going to have a role in the NFL somewhere.
Yeah, I like that. We are going to be different. Ferguson T7 for me. I liked him, though. He's good. Yeah, I liked him. I have a couple guys ranked really closely. My tight end five is Trey McBride from Colorado State.
I haven't got to watch him yet, but I know you and Devin love him a lot, man.
My Lord, yeah. He's so, so fun. Speaking of big tight ends, Trey McBride, 6'4", 260. He is a wide dude. He stands out on film. He's got that big old school shoulder pads. And he is, I think, the best run blocker that this class has to offer at the tight end position. Yeah.
That's saying a lot, man.
I mean, of the guys who are like also somewhat of a pass catcher, like, you know, there might be some guys who are like, you know, literally just an extra tackle or whatever. But, you know, as far as guys who matter, Trey McBride, I think, is a very, very good run blocker. It is rare to see a tight end finish blocks the way that he does. You go back and watch that 2019 Boise State film. I mean, he is just driving dudes off the ball into the ground. One of the things you love about his big body, he's able to make contested catches. He's tough as nails. Seen him take a lot of hits over the middle. You know, he's really good in the red zone, wide catch radius. You put it in his vicinity, he's going to catch it. He's very much that old school throwback, punch you in the mouth tight end. I'm a sucker for those type of guys. Now, obviously, the question becomes then is how athletic is this guy? Look, is he going to go out there and burn you with route running or burn you vertically? No. Is he a terrible athlete? I don't think he's a terrible athlete. I actually think he's average, and I think it's enough that when you look at him, you go, okay, this is a player who, you know what, send his ass to Baltimore, excuse my language, put him there with those guys, let him run block most of the time and then come out on play action, you know, run that PA power that they run there all the time, run that stuff with him, and he's going to be great in that type of offense. I could see him at Buffalo being pretty successful. They could use a guy with his skill set. He's a very, very good complement to a lot of the tight ends that we see dominating the NFL, right? If you're Atlanta, I'd love to, you know, pair McBride with Kyle Pitts. He covers a lot of what Kyle Pitts doesn't do. You can do a lot of fun stuff with those guys. So I really love Trey McBride. I don't know if he'll finish this high in my rankings in the summer, because at some point I'm going to have to sit down and set aside my biased love for his, you know, butt kicking in the run game and be like, all right, you know, maybe Kate Otten's a little bit more athletic. I got to rank him higher. But that's my number five, a little bit off the path there. Colorado State, Trey McBride, if you haven't watched him, I highly recommend it. He's one of the best Mountain West prospects that we have this year.
Well, coming in at number four, you just said his name, Kate Otten, tight end from Washington. Listen, you injuries, man. He played in four games last year. Just couldn't stay on the field, couldn't stay healthy. But, you know, hoping for a speedy recovery from whatever he dealt with the last year. It's a string of injuries, man, nagging stuff. But, like I said, big tight end class, literally wrote down 6'5", 240, man. But in four games, 18 catches for 258 yards and three touchdowns. So, Washington's quarterback play has not been stellar.
Oh, man.
We'll just say that.
So bad last year.
So I do think it's, you know, worthy of mentioning. He's not played with the most talented guys while his time at Washington. But for a guy who's not the best athlete, he's crafty at the top of the route tree, man. I think he understands how to attack leverage, how to attack coverage. He knows his assignment. He's more than willing to maul you in the run game. Like, he's not scared. Sometimes you can try to kind of treat him like an extra tackle. I'm opening up run lanes, but like I said earlier, man, it has to be healthy. You have to be healthy, man. I thought he showed the ability to make contested catches, very good hands. He's not going to be a vertical threat, and Washington's not asking him to be a vertical threat. I thought he showed some ability after the catch to run through guys. He's very physical if you haven't watched him play, guys. But I like Kate Otten. I'm hoping for a big year. I'm not really surprised that Washington may not be good this year. I don't expect that to happen. But from him player-wise, I hope that, one, the quarterback plays good so we can see him at his best. I hope he's healthy. And three, man, I don't know where the league is at on tight ends who are, because for a while, it looks like we're moving towards, you know, tight ends who are just athletes, guys who are just, you know, good in open space. And it kind of looks like now in this class, really, we have a lot of tight ends who are really good run blockers, and some of them are better run blockers than they are pass catchers. So I'm kind of going to be excited to see how the league kind of values these type of guys. But I do think a fully healthy Kate Otten's a top five tight end in this class. Again, hopefully he can stay healthy, but I think he brings a lot to the table. Man, I think like I said, tight ends who can block are going to be so important. And again, he's not a vertical threat. He's not going to wire you with his speed. You're not going to see really splashy, just explosive plays from him. But I think he's sufficient enough in terms of creating separation and getting open, because he understands where defenses are going to be. And I think that's how he creates separation at the top of the route tree. But number four for me, Kate Otten, tight end from Washington.
Yeah, he came in at tight end six for me, so I really like him. Here's our off-topic question. Worst quarterback play, Florida State or Washington last year?
Oh, God, man.
Yeah.
It has to be Florida State, right?
You think so?
I don't know. They're both horrible.
They were really bad. It was tough. I was watching the Washington film because I did Kate Otten too, man. It's just like, this dude cannot get the football from point A to point B.
He can't.
Brutal.
Doesn't Florida State have who's the quarterback now?
Well, they have Mackenzie Milton.
There we go.
Central Florida. So
yes.
I'm hoping then maybe he can, you know, unlock the 25 five stars they have on offense. Maybe they'll be good this year, but we'll see. I think if you want to see some really bad quarterback play, there you go. Florida State, Washington. Moving back to tight ends, my tight end four is Utah's Brant Cuthie. I believe, or Cuthie, I think it's how you pronounce it. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. Yeah, he's really fun. I wrote an article about him for bluechipscouting.com, just kind of breaking down what he does. Very, very, I think, sneaky good athlete. You know, I hate saying that about a white tight end, but
it's the go-to for the athlete, man.
I swear it applies here. You don't look at this guy and you're like, yeah, he's a good athlete. And you watch the film, you're like, yeah, he's kind of fast. He's a little shifty. You know, he ran track in high school. He did the long jump in high school. You see those things translate for him onto the field. Versatile pass catching option. He's a vertical threat. He can beat you with speed. I thought he showed some more route running chops than he's given credit for. That Utah offense is very, very weird. I think you're really only going to get a lot of good usage out of him and a lot of good film out of him going back to 2019. The Pac-12 schedule last year was, I'm going to call it, an unmitigated disaster. And then also Utah had Jake Bentley at quarterback, which was another unmitigated disaster, speaking of bad quarterback play. And that offense just kind of sputtered a lot last year. But you go back to 2019 when they had Tyler Huntley, who was very competent and seems like he's going to be a decent backup for the Ravens. They had Zach Moss in the backfield. They had a couple other pros on that team. Cuthie has led that team in receiving for three straight seasons as a tight end. That's incredibly rare. It's incredibly productive. I mean, it's just really, really, you don't see that a lot from college tight ends. So that was a big thing for me. And then from the traits perspective, good hands, vertical route running ability, vertical receiving ability. I think he's a decent route runner. He's dynamic and he's versatile. He can play H-back. He can play in line. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. I think obviously you like him more as a receiving option. I think the biggest problems with his game, he's a little bit light in the pants. He's not going to be this pull, this guy who's going to run up there and really, create a lot of vertical push on the line of scrimmage. He's not the best blocker in the world. He probably needs to add a little bit of functional strength, a little bit of weight to his frame, kind of pack that on and get him a little bit stronger. So it might take him a couple of years, but we're seeing teams really gravitate towards using the H-back as a, 60 to 70% of their snaps. We just saw Josiah DeGuara get drafted pretty highly by the Packers a couple of years ago. Cuthie kind of reminds me of DeGuara in that way. So I could see him being like a third to fourth round player who, sees some playing time at some point if he develops correctly. Really like the athletic profile. Really like the versatility. You just got to see more out of him, right? This year in Utah, I'd like to see a little bit of an increase in production just to make sure we're not too far away from what we saw in 2019. But even in 2020, he led the team in receiving, which is crazy because they only completed like 40 passes the entire year. So, it's good to see that, he's still the focal point of the offense, but, want to see him improve this year. I'm really, really high on him. I don't know if other people are. I just really like the athlete. I think he's right lock in step with what the NFL is going towards the tight end position. But those are my two that I thought were going to be different, and we're two for two so far. So let's hear tight end three, my dude. Let's see if we can keep going.
Before I get to tight end three, didn't South Carolina's quarterback transfer to Utah? Bentley?
Yeah, well, Bentley played there last year, and Then I think he transferred again.
Who was that? I don't remember who just transferred to Utah again, but number three, man, this may be based off of projection. I think This is a really good football player, but just kind of got lost in the shuffle because there was a guy in front of him last year who was, a highly touted recruit and obviously ended up didn't getting drafted where we thought he was going to go. But number three for me is Will Mallory from Miami.
Oh, and there it is.
Just hear me out. Before you want to give me crap about being a homer. Dude, I think he's a better player than Brevin Jordan is. More complete tight end.
Okay, all right. You're off the hook.
Dude, I just think, man, he's big, but dude, in open space, he's got good speed for man his size. Man, go back and watch the Louisville film, dude. He's real crack at the top of the route tree, man. I mean, these are safeties you couldn't get hands on him, man. I mean, I know we're not saying much because it's Louisville's defense, but just for a tight end to be able to to create separation the way he can at the top of the route tree. Listen, he's got good hands, man. There are so many plays of him. I forgot what game I was watching. He's running like a dig or a drag. And Nikosi Perry, again, the ball is behind him. Dude, he has to adjust, snag the ball, turn back around, gather himself, and gain a few yards after the catch. So he showed the ability to contort and adjust his body to make catches. I think he has good catch comfort. Like I said, he's good yak ability. For him, it's really just getting a bigger role in the offense, which I think is going to happen this year. I think this is going to be a guy that's going to make a huge jump this year because he's going to shine in the offense where – a lot of times, Brevin Jordan kind of got lost in the offense. And I think this year, with Will Mallory, is an overall better player, in my opinion. He's not, and I think that something Brevin Jordan got a lot of crap for was his blocking ability. I thought he was a little better than people gave him credit for. Will Mallory is not afraid to get dirty in the trenches. He will go and block somebody in pass pro. There are several instances in the Duke film where he's blocking, defensive ends one-on-one, and he's having success. So probably not saying much again because those dudes are also light in the pants too. But I like Will Mallory a lot, man. I think this is, kind of a projection thing. But just from what I've seen in the 3 years at Miami, the sky's the limit. If he can get an expanded role and more targets and more touches, I think teams are really going to see that this is a guy who can maybe be a guy you take in late round two, early round three, and, has some success in a maybe an early limited role, early on, maybe some special teams. But I think this is a complete player who just needs to have an expanded role. And I think he kind of got forgot about because there were other athletes on the field who got more touches. But I think in a year where Miami is lacking that leadership at tight end, I think he's going to be the guy in his senior year to get it done, man. And hopefully, you know, getting a Senior Bowl invite and really shine. I think he's a complete player, man. He's not getting talked about enough because, like I said, the expanded role hasn't been there. But I think this is the year for him.
I'm glad you brought up Mallory because he didn't make my list, but I'm glad you brought him up because I do really like him. I think he's better than Brevin Jordan. All right, another off topic. How many years do you think Jake Bentley's been playing college football?
It's got to be like 6.5 by now.
It is 6. He was at South Carolina for 4 years.
Yes.
He went to Utah last year, and then he's going to play in South Alabama this year. He transferred to South Alabama.
Okay, what's the deal? He lose the job to someone at Utah or –
Honestly, I have no idea. I'm not the Pac-12 scout, so I don't know who the quarterback at Utah is this year, man.
I'm going to do some research.
Jake Bentley, in 2016, I was a sophomore in high school, and he was the quarterback for South Carolina, man. I'm about to graduate college.
Do you remember Brandon Whedon, 28-year-old rookie?
That's what we're looking at, man.
This is horrible.
Yeah, not great. All right. Tight ends. My tight end 3 is Austin Stogner from the University of Oklahoma. I want to shout out my man Ben Glassmeyer over at BCS. He's our big 12 scout. He turned me on to him. He's really impressive. Very, very good athlete. And I think that that's kind of, you know, in the direction that we're going. He's a very good route runner. He separates really well, sink his hips. He can get open at the top of routes. He can also win with physicality and quickness, right? You like to see that complete separation profile, especially in tight ends. You have to be a certain level of physical to play that position. So he can separate from linebackers who are trying to bully him, and he can separate from corners who are trying to win, you know, with more technique. So he's able to kind of, you know, do whatever you need to do to get open. Has pretty good hands. He runs good routes. He's very athletic. I thought he was a solid blocker. You know, was he great? Was he Trey McBride? I mean, no, because nobody is. But, you know, he was close. You know, he gets stalemates, and, you know, he does kind of the old tight end-ism of I'm just going to hold on long enough, and that's going to be good enough, and the running back's going to run through the hole, and maybe it doesn't look pretty, but I'm going to get the job done. And that's what NFL teams are really looking for in a lot of their tight ends right now, and I think Stogner gives you that, plus a very, very good receiving profile, and that is obviously what the NFL is valuing. Now, he comes in. He's 6'6 on the Oklahoma site. I don't know if he's 6'6". He's tall.
I mean, they give an inch or two on the they give an inch or two on the sites. We know that.
Yeah, he's tall. 6'6", though, I don't know. But he's big. He has plenty of size. Size is not a concern. I think with him, obviously, you'd like him to be a little bit more of a blocker, and you'd like to see just a little bit more from that receiving profile. There's a lot of mouths to feed in the Oklahoma offense. They got a bunch of backs. They got a couple of receivers who are draft eligible. So there's a lot of mouths to feed. There's, you know, but I like what I saw from Stogner. You know, he's a guy that I would consider maybe in the late second round as a good athlete, a guy that I can bring in, you know, almost like a, I don't know, like a Hayden Hurst, Austin Hooper type player, you know, just a solid tight end, a guy who can provide, you know, some stability there. So he's my tight end 3. We are 3 for 3 on different ones. Let's see if we can finish it out here, man. Who you got a tight end 2?
While you were doing that, I was doing research on who Utah's quarterback is because I knew I knew it was a big name. Charlie Brewer. Remember from Baylor?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So I knew it was somebody, but
jeez. I forgot about Charlie Brewer, man.
RIP my mentions for this.
Oh, no.
Whoever's listening to this, I feel like they're going to be upset that this guy's not number one. But it's Jalen Weidemeyer, number 2 for me out of Texas A&M.
All right.
Listen. He's fun. He's a complete player. More than willing to be a blocker. There are several times Texas A&M has lined him up. And look, man, we're going to run power. We're going to pull you. We need you to meet a linebacker. Anybody coming in a way. And there's times where he's willing to get there. And I feel like there's a little times he's timid. So I think there's room for improvement as a blocker. I think that at the point of attack, I need to see him be a little more physical, a little stronger at the point of attack. He's not scared, but there are times where I feel like he's not sustaining blocks as long as I thought he should have or as he could have. And there's also times where he's doing the complete opposite. He's sustaining the block, driving his men off the football, and, you know, he's creating runs creating holes for Isaiah Spiller. But the good catch radius, man, he has no problem playing through contact, contested catch ability. I think he has good hands. There are several times in a Tennessee game where he was up to seam, and, you know, it's tight coverage, and he got the football, you know, defenders hanging on his back. what else did I write down here, man? I think in the Auburn game, it showed the ability to run away from Auburn's linebackers and man coverage, man, create separation. There a lot of times it was a slant route or a drag route. He was getting open. Listen, this dude is the overall man. He's a talented kid. And I'm, you know, when I was done watching these guys, I was like, dude, he's not the best tight end in the class. It's so close. I know everybody has him as number one. Dude, I love being different. I love creating discussion. I love everybody's process is different. We're going to value what we value. You're going to look at what you look at. He's a damn good tight end. If we were to hear this kid's name called in round one, wouldn't be surprised, right? He's going to covet a lot of attention that he already has. NFL has been on, you know, alert for a while now since he's been draft eligible. But everything he brings to the table is what the NFL is looking for. I'm not sure what to expect from him role-wise from, you know, this year because, you know, Kellen Mond is gone and their quarterback situation is a little dicey from what I read out. I'm not sure if these kids – now they got a high recruit coming in, but I don't know if these kids won the job or not. But I think at the NFL level, he's going to be a goal line problem because of his size and his contested catch ability. I think wherever he goes, he has the ability to be a very, very good threat in the intermediate to short areas of the field. There are several times Kellen Mond is rolling out and there's nothing open and he's just dumping off to Jalen and he's just making something happen. There's also times where it's like third and five and he's going through his progressions and Jalen's sitting there and it's Kellen Mond stinks. So he's missed him, you know, 30 years ago, but he's still open. You know, he'll dump it off to him. He'll get it gained about 7 or 8. I think that's something that's going to be huge. He doesn't always have to be this, you know, this deep threat, which he's shown he can, you know, run routes down the seam, middle of the field and attack safeties and sometimes even deep coverage. But I think he's a good athlete, man. He's a good athlete to catch. I think he's, you know, he's ability to make people miss in space, but I have him as number two right now. I really do. I think what I've seen from someone else at number one is just a bit another a projection for me. But these two guys are going to battle for me for tight end one and two all year. I feel like
the streak is over.
I also have Jalen Wydmyer as tight end two.
Let's go, baby!
You're the same on that one. I think we're going to have the same top two in the same order. Yes. I was worried. I thought you were going to put him at one. I think you did a really good job breaking him down and why he's good. But also, I think when we talk about the number one guy, I think we'll probably agree on where the difference is between those players. Yes. But keeping it on Wydmyer, I agree with you, right? Good size, good build. This is an NFL tight end. This is, you know, you turn on the film and you say, okay, that guy's an NFLer. You know, he has good power. He's a nuanced route runner. I didn't think he was overly explosive. I didn't think he was an overly good athlete. I think he's more smooth than the explosive. I think he's more of like a one-speed player, and that's fine. You could be successful with that. He's very savvy, big body, good catch radius, really, really good hands. He can be a vertical threat. He can win down the field. He can win in the red zone. He can run in the short areas of the field. This is a very, very solid tight end prospect. I think all around, you know, he's very good. I don't love his blocking. I think it's probably the weakest part of his game. I'd like to see a little bit more of a mean streak out of him, you know, really try and push those guys around. I know that, you know, most tight ends don't really have that at all. Frankly, I'm not sure the guy that we're going to talk about next has it either, but he's good in other areas, so it's fine. You know, Wydmyer, I think, is very, very good. Like you said, would not surprise me to hear his name called on day one. Personally, for me, he's going to be a day two player. I don't think I would take him on day one unless I was late and that was a big need for me. I just think that he's an okay athlete at the end of the day. He does a lot of other good things well. I think he can be a productive player. Probably, I would say he's like, I don't know, like a back-end T1. For you, right? Like, you know, probably a guy who sits somewhere between 17 and 12 in the NFL and kind of gives you 700-ish yards a year or something like that. I mean, I think he's good. I think he's solid. I think you can get him and he can be productive early. But we've been teasing him out, so let's talk about it. Who's your TE1, man?
Jaleel Billingsley, baby, Alabama. Yeah. Listen, this kid is a freak athlete, man. You let me know how many tight ends are back there returning kicks at Alabama, all right? Nope. Just overall in the country, my man is just built different, okay? Turn on the LSU game, turn on the Kentucky game, the Notre Dame. This kid's a freak athlete. He's jumping over dudes. He's creating separation. Yeah, he's built like a tight end, but he runs like a wide receiver. I thought he was a willing blocker. I thought the Kentucky game showed some times where he was, like, more than capable of holding his own. I mean, it's not something I would consistently ask him to do because he's such a good athlete in space. I'd rather have the football in his hands. But, dude, I think very crafted top of his route, very smooth, creates separation. There are a few times when LSU had just had no idea what to do with this dude. Man, one of his touchdowns was a huge coverage bust, and there's other times where he's simply just at the top there. I can't remember what quarter it was, ran a corner route. Stuck his foot in the ground, gave him a smooth head fake, and the dude just goes the opposite way. And I'm like, this is tight end. And then there's the Kentucky game. Like I said, you catch a football in open space and you hurdle a man, right? Gain your balance and you gain another yard or two after the fact. Listen, this is Alabama, right? This is a talent factory. These guys are coming in and out every year. I said this is a projection thing for me because obviously the talent that's been around him since he's been at Bama, he has not seen a lot of targets. He's not seen a lot of production. However, in a year where Henry Ruggs is gone, Devonta Smith is gone, and you still have John Metchie, you still have your talented your guys at Bama, but I think his role is going to increase tremendously, and I think he's such a good athlete, and his splash plays are such huge plays that it's going to just really draw everybody's eye to that he's just overall just more talented than every tight end in the class. And I don't even think it's close, if we're being honest with you, man. I think he just has stuff you can't teach, man. He's good after the catch, like I said, smooth at the top of the route tree. And you can't teach a guy how to create separation. There's some guys got it or you don't, and Jahlil has it, man. Young, right, kind of inexperienced. I think, like you said, his role is going to expand a lot this year. But for me, man, he's the most talented guy. And I'm hoping we can, you know, can see something impressive. And I'm going to the Miami and Alabama game this year.
Okay, all right. That's opening week, right?
Miami fan, I am not expecting to win the game. I'm just going to have a good time with my father. But if Jahlil wants to not be good week one, I'm perfectly fine with that. If you would like to wait until week two and beyond, it'd be great. Be my guest. But in all seriousness, man, he's so good. And he's the most talented guy. And I said it was graded close-wise because I think, you know, like you said, there's things that he does that Jalen doesn't and vice versa. But he's just clearly more talented, and you can't even argue with that. Anybody who says he's not, it's, as Stephen A. would say, stay off the weed.
Yeah, man, I think you did a good job breaking it down. Billingsley is also my tight end one out of Alabama, man. I just think that, look, just special athlete. He looks like a wide receiver, and he's built like a tight end. I think that's what the NFL is going towards right now. Look, I am not comping him to Kyle Pitts. They're not even close. Kyle Pitts is significantly better in every single category. All right. However, in this class, Billingsley is right now as close as we're going to get to Kyle Pitts.
You said that because when I watched him, I was like, okay, dude, I don't want to say this, but I kind of think he's like, kind of like, I get it.
He's in that mold, right? Like, that's the type of player he is. He's going to be that mismatch weapon in the slot. He's going to be able to win with his athleticism, his ability to separate in tight spaces. He's sudden. He's explosive. He's fast. I think he's probably going to run in the low 4.6s, maybe the high 4.5s for a tight end. I mean, like, that's pretty good. Like,
would it surprise you if he ran a high 4.4? Yes or no?
I would crap my pants if he runs a high 4.4, man. That would be nuts. That would be crazy. I'm here for it, though. I hope he does it. I love it, man. Combine's great. But, yeah, Billingsley's really, really impressive. You brought up a couple of the concerns. Do you know how many career catches he has?
Oh, man. Last season, he was 18 for 287 and 3 touchdowns. So I don't know how many off the top total he has, though.
20. He has 2 other catches outside of the 18 last year. So this is a guy that we both really like him. Yeah. He's got 20 career catches, man.
Got to get a bigger role, man.
We got to, you know, pick up the pace a little bit here. Yeah. You know, we need Bryce Young to start firing the ball out to Billingsley. Yes. Like you said, hopefully he gets into a bigger role this year. You know, one of the big problems, I mean, not really a problem for Alabama, but a problem when trying to evaluate Billingsley is just like, you know, Alabama just keeps rolling out 5-star receivers like they're going out of style. Keep, you know, printing first rounders in the factory and rolling them out every year where they come up with these dudes, but they keep at John Metchie's another one. I don't think he's quite a first rounder, but maybe he'll get there. Who knows?
He's good.
But Billingsley's a really impressive athlete. Played basketball in high school too, so he's got the coveted tight end basketball background that, you know, we'll hear about every year all the time on the NFL broadcast. Every time he makes a catch, they'll tell us about it. Yes. So really like Billingsley, but again, we're doing a lot of projecting. I don't think he's much of a blocker. And that was one of the things that I, you know, if we're going back to Kyle Pitts, again, not comping into Kyle Pitts, but the role in which Kyle Pitts will be successful will probably be the same role that Billingsley will be successful in the NFL. You know, Pitts took a big step forward last year as a blocker. I mean, I don't really think it would have mattered, quite frankly, but he did get better as a blocker. And I'd like to see the same from Billingsley this year and just kind of, you know, prove that he could be serviceable, prove that he can be a guy that, you know, you put him on the field and the other team's not like, all right, they're going to throw the ball here, you know, that type of thing. So, all right. We're under 30 minutes, which is pretty good. You want to hit any sleepers before we get out of here?
Yes. The young man, I think his name is Braden Galloway from Clemson.
Okay.
Tight end. He had a PED suspension, so he missed a little bit of time. It's not great exactly, but good athlete, man. Moves good with the ball in his hands. I'd like to hear your quick comments on Charlie Cole, or I'm not really high on Charlie, but
yeah, here's the thing. So I do this thing where I've become very, very, I don't want to say I'm very, very good at it, but I am. I'm very, very good at comping players. Yeah, to inanimate objects. And, you know, I would comp Charlie Poehler to a light post.
Thank you so much.
I mean, he's tall. And, yes. Like, and he is big. And I'll give him credit. The man catches everything.
No, he does. He does.
Great hands, great catch radius. That's fine. I mean, he could not separate from a statue. He has no juice whatsoever. We talk about juice on this podcast all the time.
He has zero.
Beasley has all the juice. Kolar has zero of the juice. And look, maybe he's, you know, he's like Anthony Fersker, and he's a tight end too, and he catches, you know, he has seven catches every year and five of them are touchdowns. You know, maybe that's his role in the NFL and he makes a living. Fine. But, you know, there are sites out there hyping up Kolar as like top 50 player, tight end one or two in this class. I mean, I don't even think he's a top 10 tight end in this class, if I'm being honest. I think this is a deep group, and yeah, not a big Kolar guy.
Jeremy Reckert, have you watched him yet? Ohio State?
Hey, I did, and I dodged a question about Jeremy Reckert on Twitter because I didn't like him. I really didn't, and I'm the Big Ten scout, so like I have to own that. My report's up on bluechipscouting.com. You can read it now. Now, here's the thing. He's all projection. I mean, he has like – I think he might have like close to less catches than Billingsley, or he's like in the – I'll look it up right now. But, you know, I think that he's a guy who really needs to develop, man. Like his film is just like a lot of nothing. And it's kind of difficult to really – all right, so he has 28 career catches. So he has eight more than Billingsley. He's also played in one more season. So
that's disturbing.
Yeah, it's – there's a lot of athleticism that you like there. I thought I would like him more than I did. And I don't know. I gave him a fifth-round grade. I think he can develop. I think he can push to be one of the top 10 ends taken in this class. Talent is not the issue. It's just that, like, can you run routes? I have no idea. How do you catch in contested situations? Good in the two times that you were forced to do it, but that's a very small sample size. Blocking is incredibly inconsistent. You lunge a lot. You get off balance. You're falling forward against Rutgers. Not great, you know, but there's also reps, right, where you see him, you know, in the college football playoff game, right? He had a couple really good plays against Clemson, you know, in that same Rutgers game where he was falling on his face as a blocker. He also drove a couple guys down the field. So he's just very inconsistent. He's very all over the place. I didn't like him. I thought I would like him more than I did, but we'll see. He's got all the tools. If he puts it together this year, you know, and he has a big year in that Ohio State offense, I mean, I don't know. He definitely has a talent to be like a top 50 tight end. So we'll see. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm a little bit skeptical on him. His film was spotty.
I agree with everything you just said. That's one to see, because there's a lot of guys who got a lot of hype for him, and there's just, you know, guys like you and I who just are like, eh.
So, yeah, I just if he puts it together, I'll be happy. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. All right. Is that it?
That's it, man. Yeah.
That's it. All right. Well, we covered a bunch of tight ends today. So thank you for listening to this episode of Inside the War Room presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review. We will be back next week. I'm thinking maybe we want to do one show for all the offensive linemen. I don't know if we want to do guards and tackles.
It's the summer, man. Just put together the big uglies in one group and call it a day.
Yeah, we'll do like top three. We'll do like top three tackles and top three interior guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But we'll knock out the upfront, the hog mollies next week. We'll try and get that done in one show. So, again, leave us a 5-star review if you have not already. We will talk to you guys next week. Peace.